Liz on Biz is brought to you by the Women's Business League, the only networking organization where women come together to connect, support, and grow authentically. Whether you're a seasoned entrepreneur or just getting started, WBL is the place where genuine networking brings real results for your business. Join me, I'm a member, and sign up for a virtual membership, or you can join one of their local chapters at womensbusinessleague.com. Want to be a lead magnet? It starts with using better words on your website. Hey, I'm Liz Teresa, and I'm here to tell you that improving your copy is the absolute easiest, quickest, and most cost-effective way to get more clients and cash rolling in. Go to freecopyvideo.com to download my free copywriting training. See you there. Hello, and welcome to the Liz on Biz podcast, where the guests are barely prepped and I'm barely ready. I'm your host, Liz Teresa, and I help you launch, build online businesses you love. This podcast is all about entrepreneurship, and I hope you like it.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Liz on Biz. Here with me today is Kristen Nolan from Interview Valet. Welcome to the show, Kristen.
Thank you so much. I'm excited to be here.
I'm truly excited to have you because we're going to be meta. Well, we're not Facebook, but I mean, we're going to be meta because we're like podcasting and talking about podcasting on a podcast with a podcast on a log with a dog.
I love it. Yes.
That was a little Dr. Seuss for you at the end. Isn't that what he does? You eat green eggs and ham. Da 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 da. Did you ever read that to your kids or is it they don't get it? I feel like it didn't hit for
mine love Dr. Seuss.
They do?
Yeah, they love Dr. Seuss. They used to do, I don't know if they still do, because my kids are, I have older ones and a younger one, but they used to do like Dr. Seuss speak where it was like, you know, dress up in 50 million outfits and do all the things.
Oh, that's kind of fun.
Yeah.
See, I read it to my son and like, I thought that he would like green eggs and ham and he likes like Go Dogs Go, which is cute, but like, he like the ones he kept, because like he had like 10 books and we're trying to get rid of things. I have too many things.
Yes.
It's awful. So like we filled like bags recently and like green eggs and ham, like he got rid of it, but he kept Cat in the Hat at least, you know, because that's like.
Yeah.
Classic.
I feel like my kids liked green eggs and ham because we made green eggs. So like to them, there was like.
How do you make green eggs? Do you have to do the color?
Yeah, you just do a little bit of like food coloring, like very, very, very little. It doesn't take a lot. And they were like, this is the coolest thing ever. So
why are you such a good mom making green eggs and ham for your kids? It's like amazing.
Thank you. They're a little crazy, but we have fun.
I made my son a Danimals and I was exhausted. I got into the fridge. I was like, here's breakfast. Happy Friday.
Well, my youngest goes and gets her own. Like every couple
That's
of minutes,
amazing.
You open this for me. I need this. So
that was the best piece of advice I ever got, actually, was from a mom that said you should always keep your kids' snacks at their level so they can just get their own snack and then you just open it because otherwise you're going to keep getting up to get snack.
Yep, exactly. That's what we do. She goes right into the refrigerator. She pulls out what she wants. Or I ask my older two that are 10 and 12, can you go get Landry a snack?
Do your kids know to close the fridge so it doesn't beep?
Yes, but sometimes it'll beep and I'll be like, go close the fridge. So yeah.
The horrors of being a mother in 2025. Yeah. Like, I love how like in the olden days, they didn't even have fridges and we're upset ours beeps.
Like, I know. Well, thank God mine beeped because otherwise I would never have food because
we would never have food. I just hit the mic. So everybody just went, sorry, everybody. But no, I always talk about first world problems. That is a very first world problem.
Yeah.
But speaking of first world problems, I want to ask you about podcasting and visibility. So tell me about what you do at Interview Valet.
Yeah. So I am a senior client account manager and I help business owners turn podcast interviews into actual revenue. And a lot of times people approach podcast guesting as just sort of showing up, recording a podcast and waiting for leads to show up. I approach that very differently. So my background is in corporate sales and account management. And I learned very early on in my career that relationships had to translate into measurable results. So one of our core values is that relationships are the ultimate currency. So I like to try to live that every single day, both professionally and personally. So when I'm working with clients on their campaigns, I'm thinking not just about booking them on shows, but also about audience alignment, conversion funnels, and how we turn those listeners into leads and customers. So what I've recently found or found along the way is that a lot of times people will do it wrong. They'll pick, you know, a random podcast and they'll just go on any podcast that will have them. It's really important to be strategic. And how we do that is we match the right audience and we match the messaging that really relates to that audience. So we're not just going out there and having a conversation. We're having a conversation of value. So truly the best part of what I do is realize that, you know, help my clients realize that they don't have to be everywhere. They just need to be in front of their ideal clients.
Yeah, you don't have to be everywhere. You just want to be in the right places. Like, yeah. You can't wear a white dress to a funeral.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? 100%. I mean, don't.
Yeah.
Don't recommend it. Well, because this is also talking about, like, sometimes they talk about vanity marketing or, like, and this is a thing where you're like, I just want some visibility. So I'm just going to go out and get some visibility. But, like, that's like saying, I want some food. Like, you don't always want green eggs and ham. Like, it might not be right for your digestion. Like, maybe there's something else that's better for your specific brand. Because when I say better, we're getting into conversion marketing a little bit, right? But, like, when you have somebody come up to you guys and, like, let's say they're not hard up for clients, but they would like some visibility, does your job then help think through, okay, what's going to be the number one call to action then, like, for them, like, when they go on a show, or, like, what should be their talking points and how to, maybe, like, do you ever help them, like, think through what is their funnel?
Yeah, absolutely. So we're doing a lot of, like, strategy around, you know, you mentioned calls to action, right?
Yeah.
So we always suggest to clients that we do a small yes, a medium yes, and a heck yes, right? So we do, like, a free giveaway that gets people to your website to learn more about you. You know, a medium yes may be something like, you know, a link to your book, or, you know, maybe it's a course that you're, you know, doing for a small fee or free. And then the heck yes is like, hey, I love Liz. I want to work with her. And so we're guiding them through that process. And then we're also helping to prep them, right? So we're alignment on the target audience. And then we're putting together documents to ensure that, you know, they know who the target audience is of the podcast so that they can make the information that they're talking about relevant to that particular audience.
And I feel like what you may have, like, what you kind of said, but I, like, want to, like, put in big letters for people because it was wicked smart, is that it's about having the, like, the little yes, the medium yes, and the big yes, right? Mm-hmm. And I feel like if you look at, I feel like this is an invitation for everybody to kind of, like, look at your buckets, look at your offers, right? Do you have a small yes, a medium yes, and a big yes? Like, I mean, like, when you said it, I was like, oh, I totally do. I totally do. Yep. But then I'm also like, am I yesing in the right places? I think that's where I'm not sure. Because I mean, for somebody that might be more booked, maybe you want to push your medium yes and not your, you know, your little yes and your medium yes before you're pushing the big yes.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, being a podcast guest, your ideal clients get to get a feel for who you are, right? In other types of media, you know, if you're on a 30-second commercial, they get 30 seconds where you're sort of pitching yourself. Whereas if they're listening to a podcast interview, they're self-selecting, right? They like the host, they trust the host, and they also get a feel for who you are as a person before they decide if they want to work with you or not. So it's really, I call it the anti-networking strategy, where, you know, a lot of times people will go to these, you know, larger networking events and not get a whole lot of return on that. Whereas when someone hears you on a podcast interview, it's kind of a similar situation, but I think there's definitely more value to it because they get to see who you are and what you believe in and how you can help them solve a problem.
It's also really intimate. I mean, when I like think about what we're really like, I say this occasionally, but like we're in an ear right now. It's like I'm in there. I could touch your brain from here.
Yeah.
That's kind of personal. So I feel like there's even like, because of the closeness of the listening experience, I feel like that also kind of, and also there's, even if you're doing your dishes while you're listening, there is kind of a more increased attention than if you're in a networking atmosphere, right? And networking is great, but like when you're in a networking atmosphere, sometimes people are talking to you, but they're looking for their next conquest while they're talking to you.
Yeah, exactly. Whereas, you know, with someone listening to a podcast, they're focused on what you're saying. And if you're doing it right, right? I have clients that I will kind of coach and talk about where they're going on a podcast and sort of talking about themselves. It really has to become a conversation where you're able to connect with the audience and have them see themselves in your offering and, you know, for you to present a problem and a solution to them.
Do you feel like, I mean, because I've had guests come on, there was one time I had a guest and she like, I was trying to ask her about her business and like, she was kind of mean, to be honest, because she was like, I was like, tell me your journey. Like, why do you do what you do? Da, 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 da. Because I care about, I think stories are interesting. Like, it's like, she wanted to come on and just be like, she just wanted to give her tips and leave, like, was kind of what she wanted. So I asked her all this stuff. And then I said, oh, we have some time for me to get some of these tips that, you know, you're so famous for. And she goes, oh, I thought you'd never ask me, like, was kind of mad. And I was like, I'm sorry, it's not your show. Like, you don't have to be here.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, I will often position interviews as this. Like, I like to look at it as a dinner party, right?
Yeah.
If you're into someone's home, like, you come and you're gracious, right? You ask, how can you bring value to your audience? You do the research. And so when you show up and you're ready for the conversation, you are connecting with the host because the top thing that I think is most important is connection. So if I'm just here as a guest and I'm promoting what I have and what my value is and what I can get out of this, the conversation is going to fall flat and people are going to turn you off versus turn you up.
Well, that's even like in a, what do they say? When you're in improv, like you can't say no.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, and so that's like, if I bring up something that lady didn't want to talk about it, she just said no, the conversation would have gone nowhere. I mean, like, for example, but like her body language, her tone was very no. Like, it's a weird interview because it actually got a lot of downloads and listens, but I thought it was weird because I was like, oh, she was so unpleasant that I'm like, I don't know why. Sometimes this works out though, right? She got a lot of listens. She could have had a large audience too that she promoted it to. It's hard to say. But like, no, it is. It's about being a guest. I mean, I remember I had one guest and I kind of complained about the guest to their PR team. So like to your, it wasn't you guys, but it was like a company like you. And I only complained because she came on and she said, okay, I only have 20 minutes and we have to record today. And I go, well, it's a 30-minute show. She goes, then I guess we better start. And I was like, I blocked off an hour. Do you know what I'm saying? And so I like emailed and I was like, I keep hitting the mic. What's wrong with me? I'm too excited and animated right now. And so I emailed her team and I was like, you know, she was great. I go, but you can't have guests come on and tell me that they only have 20 minutes.
Yeah,
because I go, it stressed me out.
Yeah.
And so then they wrote back and they're like, well, she liked you. And I was like, what am I supposed to do? Should I say nothing? But yeah, that's it. What do you think of that?
So I think, and one thing you kind of touched on a little bit before I dove in was around the promotion piece. Because that's something that people definitely miss out on, right? You know, coming on and being a gracious guest means that you're also promoting to your audience as well as, you know, I don't want to say taking advantage of, but I want to say, you know, connecting with. And I think when people come on and they're not gracious, the podcast community is very small, right? So you'll get a reputation. So if you're showing up and you're not prepared and you're not kind and, you know, happy and excited to be a guest and you're saying, hey, I only have 20 minutes when we booked an hour.
It was so weird.
That's rude, you know? And
it was
so
rude. She was nice, but it was rude.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I think it's just really important that, you know, and I tell my clients all the time, like, show up prepared. I make sure that they have the research, they have the preparation. I get all different kinds of clients. So sometimes clients are just starting out and they've never done it before. And they're a little, you know, they need a little bit of extra, whether it's like a pre-call or, you know, just some extra, you know, I've done mock interviews before, because I want to make sure that anyone that is a client of mine is going to show up well prepared. They're going to sound great. They're going to look great, and it's going to be a really good interview all around.
Oh yeah, I like you guys.
Yeah,
I've never had anybody. I don't think I've ever had a baddie from you.
Yeah,
yeah.
Well, I had a previous client, and she raved about you.
Which one are you allowed to say?
I love.
Oh, she's awesome. Carla. Yeah, she was so nice. I actually love the name Carla too.
Yeah.
And Jeff. She was so nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, yeah, like you guys have really good guests. Like Interview Connections has had pretty good guests. I don't remember where I got. I know we shouldn't speak of them. This is your show. This is your show. But they're local. One time they invited me over because they're so close to like, yeah, they're in Rhode Island. Where do you live?
I'm in Tampa.
I'd be a long drive. I'd fly to you. Tampa's nice.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We my husband is in the military, so we move often.
Yeah, yeah.
That's one of the great things. Interview Valet are, I think it's like 75% of our staff is military spouses. So
I didn't know.
So super cool. Super cool that, you know, I super cool, you know, thought there. But
I love that.
Yeah. So we get, you know, people from all over the world and we get to collaborate together. So it's really fun. And we have people, you know, with different, you know, viewpoints and different things like that. So it's really cool.
Well, I think you guys, you seem to have really nice clients. I really love hearing that they support so many military. I used to be a military wife. My husband's a veteran now, but
yeah.
My ex-husband was in the military. So I did the thing where you like go around and you keep moving. I did do that. He wasn't as fun, so we're not together anymore.
Yeah.
But I mean what I like about that is because like I don't know, like because the military itself, they don't like, I mean, I don't want to speak, they don't sponsor me though, but like they were kind of not loving that I had a business because like they didn't like spouses having business if you lived on base because they didn't want you to be in competition with the BX. And I was like, I don't sell like shoes. Like, I don't know, it was all weird, but like, it's just funny. But I think like, I love that, like, cause you seem so into what you do. I feel like that's really great that Interview Valley creates that space and that the opportunities for you to work remotely, probably because like, you're probably a whole remote. Are you guys all remote?
Yeah. Our entire staff is remote. So it's great in terms of flexibility. And, you know, I have met some incredible like clients. My brother, this is a personal story.
My
brother committed suicide a few years ago. And so I actually have had the opportunity to work on campaigns of people. I worked on a campaign for General Greg Martin. He's dubbed himself the bipolar general and he wrote a book. So I got to work with him on his campaign. And so
wow,
that was really fulfilling because it was not only professionally fulfilling, but also personally. And you know, so it's just, it's really great.
So sorry about your brother.
Thank you. It's really great when like worlds collide. And so not only from a professional standpoint, I get to work with him, but I also get to kind of help promote and spread awareness of bipolar disorder. So there are so many opportunities for, you know, good and different things like that.
So you guys are all remote, but do you ever get together?
So I am actually very excited. I'm going to PodFest in Orlando. So I'm going with Tom, our CEO. So
I met Tom. He's very nice.
Yeah. He and Karen, Karen also works on the team, is his wife. And they're just two phenomenal people. Like I can't say enough wonderful things about them.
Yeah, he's class act. I love you all. You know what? You should sponsor this. No, we already have a sponsor. I love my sponsor, Women's Business League. But no, I want to ask you now, like thinking about the types of people that, you know, get to hire Interview Valet and get to work with you. And I want to say get to because you're so pleasant and easy to work with and very nice. But like, is there a certain readiness like for a business owner? Like when should they listen to their like little voice inside that says like, you have a story and it matters? Because like, I feel like sometimes we're like, who am I to go hire Interview Valet and be on a bunch of shows? Isn't there a little bit of that?
I think so. Yeah. I think we have to really identify who the target audience is, right? So if you're not really clear on who that is, it's probably not the right timing, right? On that. And I think one of the great things about our sales process is that Tom is our sales guy, as I'll call him. And he does like what we call a discovery call. So it's really an opportunity to ask those questions. Hey, am I ready? And maybe if you're not ready right now, maybe you're going to be ready in a couple of months, but it allows an open dialogue where you can meet him face to face on a Zoom and you are able to ask those questions and he can give you insights. And we call him the godfather of podcasting. So
he's so cute.
Yeah.
He should have a shirt that says it.
Well, don't give me ideas because I do,
bring
have,
a shirt.
I do have a silhouette. Yes.
Okay. Yeah, you should make one for Orlando.
Yes. Yes.
Like, oh my God. And then you could do it. Okay, listen, because I do design. So I'm like, do it in the font that's like the Godfather font.
Oh, yeah. That would be hilarious.
And then everybody at PodFest would be like, wait, that's, I need to talk to him. It would be like a big conversation piece.
I love it. It's going
to
happen.
I feel like it has to. I don't think he'll listen either. He has enough to listen to. So it'll still be a surprise.
He does listen.
How many podcasts do you listen to? Do you listen to a lot?
I like to listen to my clients' podcasts because I feel like they leave, like, I call it little nuggets of information. So I get to know them better. So when we're sharing stories, I get to learn more about them and, you know, their background. So I do try to listen to my clients' podcasts. So
do you listen at regular speed or like fast?
I have to do it at regular speed. My brain doesn't work as quickly, especially if I'm like multitasking. So if I'm doing an email and listening, I can't do it faster.
I can't either.
A lot of people listen in the car. I can't because I have kids. So
yeah,
most in the car, it's like, you know, yelling or we're playing, you know, or they're, you know, my 4-year-old's on her iPad or something. So it's a little distracting.
My son has a playlist on my phone of just nonsense songs that he likes. But I thought it's all kids songs like Everything Is Awesome from the Lego movie.
I love that one. I have, my youngest has a Tony box. And so I'm like,
oh, those are kind of cute.
Yeah. So I need to find stuff to put on her creative Tony. So I put a couple of things that she's asked. She has like her own little playlist so I can put it on there. So,
oh, that's very cute.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I love it. Well, no, my husband listens at 2X. That's why I was going to ask you how fast you listen. And I saw you listen at 2X and I was like, this upsets me. So then I planned on asking you about it.
Does it not sound like Alvin and the Chipmunks?
It's worse. It's stressful. Like, I used to listen to My Favorite Murder, and I still do sometimes. But, like, they had an episode where one of them was talking about the movie The Mothman. And in the movie The Mothman, there is, like, a scene where, like, he answers the phone and it's just really fast talking.
Yeah.
It's like a horror movie. And the talking is, like, so fast that, like it really freaks me out. It's like for her, like she was like, that's the scariest part of any movie is the fast talk. Like it really upset the My Favorite Murder lady. And then like when I hear him do it, I'm like, it sounds like the Mothman movie. Like it's so fast. It's upsetting.
Yeah, you have to, I think, just be doing that. Like you can't be doing anything else if you're listening to it that fast because you have to focus, right? You have to focus.
Well, most people, unless you're him, I mean, like he must be magic ADHD. That's what I said because like he can also do like 5 poker games at once.
Oh, that's
a poker. Like I think you can do, and I'm just like, I don't have that.
Yeah.
It's our long break. I'm with you right now, Kristen. Like I can't do anything but our conversation.
Yeah, I'm the same. That's why I'm like, okay, if it's at one speed, I can do emails and listen, but
I used to take my own show notes before AI existed. I had a pen and paper and I used to write down the talking points that we did while I was doing the interview. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
I used to use Skype to record. These are the old days. Well, yeah, because I've been around since 2016. I'm a podcast T-Rex. No, it's true love. No, but we have good fun. And I love that we talked about the idea of readiness because I feel like that's something that's going to resonate with a lot of people. I mean, like, because you truly would get more out of it. I think everybody should talk to Tom just because he's nice. But like, I think that you do get more out of it if you have something going on. So like book people, like you guys do work with a lot of people that are like have a book coming out and stuff. Is that right?
Yeah, we do. We do virtual book tours. So one thing I would say is that if you are looking at doing a virtual book tour, the biggest thing that I would say to have is to have your book ready. Like we will sometimes have people come to us and say, okay, I'm going to do this. And this is going to be like my swift kick in the butt to finish my book. I would definitely suggest having the
pre-order link.
Yes. Well, that, but also just having a copy for like to send to hosts, right? So if we're having an interview, and we want to talk about the book. If I don't have a book to send to hosts, they don't really have a way to sort of prepare for the interview to ask those questions. So I think if we're talking about a virtual book tour, having, you know, something of substance, whether that's an outline or, you know, whatever, to provide to host, I think that's valuable. I have a client right now and he is doing he's doing a virtual book tour.
Yeah.
And again, this is another one where my worlds collide. He's talking about his brother committed suicide after being in the military. And so he wrote a book about compassionate entrepreneurship. And so his entire book, he's donating the proceeds to Stop Soldier Suicide.
Oh, I love that.
So another great opportunity for me to fill my professional and personal bucket.
Yes.
Where I'm helping, you know, provide, you know, outreach about that. So
it's so mission, it's so mission centric. I feel like whenever you have these, like in a good, like these do-gooders, and I mean do-gooder in like a great way, but like whenever you have like these people, like if you're coming on, this is what I always want to say. And I think about, I Love Lucy. Remember I Love Lucy where she's like, Ricky, I want to be in the show. I want to be in the show. And like, he never lets her in the show. And like, and I think about this because like, it's so much easier to be in the show when you have something to say. Because there's a lot of people that are like, I just want to be on podcasts. I know what I have to say is important. I'm like, well, what do you have to say? And then they don't know what they have to say. That's the problem that I see sometimes as like a branding person, right?
Yeah. Well, and that's I think something that I like work with clients about, right? It's like refining your
message. Yeah.
In the very beginning, we put together a one sheet and we talk about, you know, hey, what are your suggested interview topics? And I always advise my clients that like those interview topics should read like a podcast episode title. And so then they have kind of a baseline of like, hey, these are five or, you know, 5 to 7 topics that I feel really comfortable talking about. And I have things that I could share.
And they could ideally also lead little funnels or little asks, right?
Yep, absolutely. Yeah.
Wow. So you help them, because that's like kind of a gift to have you in that situation, because somebody might be like, oh, I know that I'm really good at like, I don't know, hormones. I'm thinking about the health people, because I'm like, what's really different than what I do with that? That would be really different. But like, they might be like, I know I want to talk about this. And then maybe you come in and you're like, you'll get the most out of it if you have a small ask ready.
Mm-hmm.
That maybe leads funnels to a bigger ask, to a medium ask, whatever.
Yeah. So we definitely help refine that messaging throughout our initial conversation, so that once, you know, my clients get on a podcast, we've sorted out all of the details. So they're ready to go, you know, and show up sounding great and, you know, see the impact from that.
I feel like you do so much more than podcasting then.
I like to look at myself.
Do you feel like that?
Strategist. Yeah. I feel like if I could describe two things that I like totally love, I would say strategy and connection. Those are my two biggest things that I enjoy most, is connecting with my clients and with hosts, and then also strategizing and, you know, bringing value to their campaigns and their business.
A lot of booking services don't do that step, to be honest with you. Because they might just look at you and package what you have, but they're not going to worry about your conversion rate.
Yeah.
You actually care.
Yeah, absolutely. I always say to my clients, like, your success is my success. So if they're not succeeding, you know, let's sit down and talk about what that is and what we can do to change it, or what we can do to, you know, strategize around it. And so that's something that I really love, because I feel like if they're successful, then, you know, it impacts them. And then I get to work with them for a long period of time, right? My goal is never to just do a 6-month campaign, love them out the door. Like, I want them to be longtime clients. I, you know, my clients turn into friends sometimes, right? And
so
the ability to, you know, help them find success and continue with us is my ultimate goal.
How much is it to hire interview valet? Is that a crazy question?
So it really depends on the type of campaign. And I actually don't get into like the specifics of the financials. That's more of a top.
But it's probably not like a PR firm. Because like firms, like if you did a whole PR firm, it's like, that can be a little daunting.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, we're definitely not as expensive as PR firms, you know, but I just if I gave you a number, it would not be the right one, because I
know me. I ask the hard-hitting questions.
I try to
put you under the white hot light. No, I'm just kidding. I just know that, like, but I think it's kind of comforting to hear that this, it's, I mean, I don't think it's ridiculous. I don't know what it is, but I don't think it's ridiculous because I also think this would be a great thing to do if you're not ready for a massive firm. That's one thing, but you're still getting the close touch. Like, I would say, like, red carpet support that a PR strategist is going to give you. That's kind of the best thing that I feel like that's the thing that you guys have. Mm-hmm. And that's, like, so uniquely important is that you make it your business to care about somebody else's business.
Yes, absolutely. Like, my clients, like, I want them to succeed. And I give them all of the tools and all of the information. And, you know, I learned very early on in my career that, like, you take your client's lead. And so, you know, I offer and I'm like, you know, here's what I have. If you want it, great. If not, totally understand. And so each client of mine, some of them want podcast. Are like, I'm a seasoned pro. I've done a million interviews. I feel comfortable, you know, kind of, you know, I'll read the brief sheet that you guys give me with all the information. I'll do a little research on it. But I feel great just hitting record and having a conversation. And then I have other clients that are like, hey, you know, I prefer pre-call. Can you set that up for me? And so it's really just, you know, I think a lot of times people have, you know, we talk about imposter syndrome.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. Where people will think I'm not qualified. Well, I'm here to tell you. And as Tom always says, the world needs to hear you now more than ever. So if you have something and you're not sharing it, like something of value to people, and you're not sharing it, you're doing not just yourself a disservice, but you're doing the people out there a disservice by not sharing your offering with them.
I just like feel that in my soul. I always remind people marketing is a service. Then they're always like surprised. People are like, marketing is me interrupting somebody else's life. Marketing is me being in the way or being too annoying or being too vocal or being too seen or too visible. And I said, no. It's what you said, Kristen, is right. Marketing is a service, and it's a disservice to not show up and be available to the people that need us. Also, I just found your price on the FAQ section of Interview Valet. So if everybody wants to look at, like, it gives you an idea of the starting price, but it varies by campaign. But it is very price. It's very approachable. You're not cheap, but it's wicked approachable. So I hope people really do it. You know?
Yeah, absolutely. We have, you know, I mean, we have a lot of very like long-term clients.
Yeah.
I'll tell you about a client. One of my success stories, he was a lawyer, and he was out there helping with law firm growth. And he said,
oh, wow.
Sent Tom and I an email, and he said, I had one client hear me on a podcast.
Yeah.
Had just closed a $90,000 deal with that client to sign on from listening to him.
Wow.
And he was a client that did all of the right things that we told him to do. He sounded great. He, you know, promoted, he repurposed, he did all of the things that we suggest. So that is very important.
Good for the guy.
Yeah.
I feel like I get that. I mean, I feel like if you show up as your authentic self, that's like the biggest thing. I mean, it's great to know what somebody does and how they can help you, right? Like, it's good to know, what does this person do for a living? And what do they sell? And can it help my life? That's important. But I feel like if you just energetically are being there and really sharing your heart, I feel like that's everything. Because like I was somewhere random and somebody reached out to me. Like I was somewhere, it was like a networking thing. Yeah. But I'm just really loud. So like somebody... like met me or heard me talking, reached out to me and was like, you were at this thing and I wanted to talk to you more, but it didn't. And I just quoted a giant thing for them. But like, I'm like, it's just by being myself. Do you know what I mean? But being yourself in the right places, because I think that's where you guys also come in. It's like, not only I feel like what you give Kristen is you're giving people courage, but it's also strategic courage. Cause like it takes courage to kind of show up and own your voice. But like, you know, sharing it with the people that deserve you.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, the best podcast that I think of that I listen to.
Yeah.
And I often say this is, I believe it sounds like you're in a coffee shop, and I probably sound like a creepy person saying this.
No, I love it.
At a table next to them, and you're listening to two people have a conversation, And it's just, it's organic, right? It's not, we're not reading from a script. We're not, you know, we're just having a conversation, and that's really what it is. And Tom will often talk about how podcast guesting or podcast interview marketing is the introvert's edge, right? Where we can talk about how introverts don't have to go and stand in front of an audience of 1,000 and, you know, be sweating. I can tell you my first interview that I did, I was sweating. I was like, the camera is going to show sweat beads coming down my face. You know, because I was so nervous, but I think once I ripped the Band-Aid off and as I've done more interviews, it becomes more organic to me, right?
Like PPE is sweaty because it's so bright. The light is so hot.
Yeah.
I've only done, I don't do a lot of television. I'd like to, but I have to look wet. I know I look like somebody poured a bucket on my face because it was just like, in my head, I was like, sweat.
Yes, exactly.
Now we have our own comfortable lighting here.
Yep. That's why I always tell people, I'm like, rip the Band-Aid off, do the first interview, even if it's like, do it ugly. One of my colleagues says, just do it ugly. So, you know, then like, if you listen to an interview, my first interview versus now, they're entirely different because you learn and you grow. So even if you're someone that's hey, want to be on stages, maybe that is your dream, you can utilize being a podcast guest as a way to grow your confidence, not just, you know, in speaking, but also in communicating with other people.
It does grow your it really does grow your confidence in speaking. I don't hesitate now about speaking. Like, I could speak and it's not a big deal. I prefer podcasting to like formal talks, like you're saying. Because it does let me be in the comfort. I'm holding a Dunkin' coffee while we're talking. Do you know what I mean? Like, I get to really be comfortable. But like, when I really talk, it can be a bit more like, you know, a bit more intimidating. But like, this is so comfortable, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And it's so nice when like the host, like you and I kind of, we have like a pre-conversation.
Yeah.
Other, like, we're just comfortable with each other, and so when you hit record, it's just like two friends having a simple conversation. It's
You are my friend.
Yes,
I really like you. I want to come over. I want to go to Tampa.
I love it. Come on,
so much warmer than here. Well, it's already getting cool here.
Yeah, it's
a little cool
thing. Yeah, it's 80 something here today. I think is the high. It's like
it was 55 this morning.
It's you have the true fall that I miss. You have the true fall.
Did you live here before?
So I lived in North Carolina before we moved here. And I love North
Carolina. You have a fall in North Carolina.
Yes, it was. I keep telling my husband, I'm like, I want to retire in North Carolina. Mm-hmm. So that's my ultimate.
I also love North Carolina.
Yeah. Tampa is very nice. It's really hot and it's really expensive. So
is it really?
Oh, yeah. It's like, it's crazy.
Oh, my God. I didn't see. Everything here in Massachusetts is expensive. So like, we're very expensive.
Very relative.
Yeah.
Probably relative. Yeah.
Well, everybody that lived here goes there. Like Florida is basically half of Boston that just got old. Like, everybody just leaves. But
a lot of people retiring here just because, the weather. Except in the summer, like July and August are like, you don't want to go outside because you're just drenched in sweat. But
I went to the Red Sox spring training, though, in Tampa. Tampa? Is there? It's in Tampa?
I feel like it
or Sarasota.
Yeah, it's probably in Sarasota. So the Yankees play here and I think the Phillies play.
Oh, yeah.
Like near St. Pete.
I saw it. And then who was that guy that was there? My husband's not here. Tim Tebow. No, Tim Tebow, who played for the Mets. Did Tim Tebow play for the Mets? I don't know. I think he left.
Oh, okay.
I remember he was a football player and then he like played baseball. And he's very religious.
I know he was a football player. Yeah.
And he was in the Mets. Like, he was on the Mets for a minute. So like all the women were like, oh my God. He was, wasn't it Tim Tebow that played for the Mets?
Really? He played for the minor league Mets.
The minor league Mets. This is part of the show now. You're in the show.
Yeah.
For you. He needed his 1 second of fame to say,
I love that.
Yes, he's in the show. I mean, one time I was recording with my sister-in-law and her dog was like barking because we had pizza delivered. Like she was recording in person.
I
was like, the dog's in the show. Because I couldn't, it was too funny to like get rid of it.
Yep. Well, I just got a puppy and I was like so nervous that he would be like, or like doing what
I had. Puppy though.
Yeah, I have a bunch of dog treats in case he like acts creepy, but he's just over here next to me.
What kind of puppy is it?
He's a beagle mix. So
oh god, they're so cute.
Yeah, yeah, he's very sweet. He's a good little boy. He was abandoned, and the rescue got him, like nursed him back to health, and so
god,
he's very sweet. So
you do that to animals. Do you ever wonder about like some of these animals that end up and you know? I just don't. No.
Yeah, I can't. Like, there was, like, that SPCA commercial, and I'm like, I can't. I have to
talk away. Oh, Sarah McLachlan?
Yes.
It's horribly sad.
It's like, yes.
It's awful sad. No, because we got our dog. My dog's name is Elise, and she's 5. And she's, like, a bulldog, pit bull, bulldog. But mostly bulldog, because she's so tired. She's not really a lot of pit bull. Anyways, we got her when she was 5, they think. They don't even know how old. They're not sure. On different papers, she was older. On different papers, she was younger. So we don't know. But, like, I'm, like, she's the nicest dog in the world. I don't know how they gave her away. I like, but like they were breeding her. I know it was like a backyard breeder situation.
Yeah.
And like she had a C-section scar. And so like when they gave her to me, she wasn't spayed. Like they assumed she was, but she was still producing milk. I know.
She didn't help. So bad. Like when we got
How do you do that?
Yeah. When we got the puppy, he was just separated from his brother. And so I was like really nervous. And we have an older dog too. And he's like been trying to play with her and she's like 8 or 9. We also got her from rescue and she's like not having it. She's like the old lady that's like, get away from me. I don't want your puppy energy.
My dog is weird with other dogs. And then we went to the pet store and there was like clearly a puppy. And I was like, she might be good with a puppy. And I'm like, she just let the puppy like lick on her and nibble on her. She just stood there. The puppy was playing with her. And she was like, I don't really want to be here.
Yeah.
I'm not really interested in this. Like she's all tough. And then she sees a puppy though. And I'm like, oh, it's because she was a mom. Because she had puppies.
Yeah.
Like she's like has like a soft spot.
Yeah, those mama instincts don't ever go away.
Yeah. So speaking of mama instincts, tell everybody what basically like if they're like, okay, I think I'm ready for interview valet. What would be your number one piece of advice before they get on a call with Tom? Because I think that they should. But what do you think?
I think it would be defining your target audience, really getting clear on who that is. Because if we're looking for, if you come to me and you say, hey, my target audience is doctors, like, well, obviously, you know, kind of say, hey, well, what about this and different things and strategize with you. But I think if you have no idea who your people are, it can make it very challenging. Yeah. And so having a clear understanding of that can be really helpful. And I think just really being prepared and being able to say, hey, I'm willing to set aside the time. I'm willing to invest my time and my talents. I think that's another key thing to really getting started and having a good campaign that you'll see results with.
I love it, Kristen. You're such a great interview. Tell everybody how they can find you online.
Yeah. So you can find me at interviewvalet/Kristen. And my name is spelled KRISTEN. And if you go there, you'll find links to all of my social media. I would love to connect with you. You can also get a free podcast interview audit. You can get a copy of Tom's book, Podcast Guest Profits. And there will also be a link to schedule a discovery call with Tom if you'd like to learn more about working with Interview Valet.
Oh my God, everybody go get all that free stuff because Tom's wicked smart and I would want that anyway. But yeah, Kristen, all the links will be in the show notes. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I really enjoyed our conversation.
Thanks so much for listening today. Be sure to subscribe, listen again later, tell your friends, leave a review because all of that helps me do all of this. For show notes and more information, check out lizteresa.com/podcast.
Liz on Biz is brought to you by the Women's Business League, the only networking organization where women come together to connect, support, and grow authentically. Whether you're a seasoned entrepreneur or just getting started, WBL is the place where genuine networking brings real results for your business. Join me, I'm a member, and sign up for a virtual membership, or you can join one of their local chapters at womensbusinessleague.com.